It's almost Rosh Hashanah, so it's time to get ourselves ready. Okay, so let's actually open to the first piece in the Sefer on page Zion. And let's see what our Rebbe, the Eish Kodesh, has to say to us today. Okay, this is from Rosh Hashanah from the year Tafshin. So that would be 1939 on the secular calendar. Your Tafshin on the Jewish calendar. And he starts by quoting the psukim that we say before Tikiyah Shofar. Okay, it's a long piece. We're not going to learn the whole thing today. We'll have to spend a couple days working our way through it. But we say, before we blow the shofar, we say, Karasi ka ana. Now, of course, that pasuk, which you recognize from Hallel, from Tehillim, right, has so much to do with the shofar. Because min ha-meitzar, from the meitzar, from a place of constriction, from the narrow end of the shofar, karasi ka, I call out to you. Right? That's what the shofar is. And we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should respond to us b'merchav. Hashem should respond with expansiveness, which is really, the shofar is modeling that as a physical object. It's an amazing thing. From a narrow place to a wide place. Right? From a place of constriction to a place of expansiveness. And again, it's such a raw cry. It goes beyond words, like we learned in one of the other pieces last week, that sometimes a religious experience or a feeling that I have for Hashem can't be expressed in words. So the kind of the ultimate expression is really the cry of the shofar, from a place of gullus, from a place of constriction, bein amitzarim, from a narrow end of the shofar, out into the wide end of the shofar. There's a lot of secrets in that. Okay, but we're not here to give a shir on shofar right now, we're here to learn the Eish Kodesh. But we quote that pasuk as one of the pasukim we say before Tikiyah Shofar. We know there's another pasuk. Koli shamata al ta'aleim oznecha. Liravcha si'i l'shava si'i. We say, Koli shamata, you've heard my voice. Al ta'aleim oznecha. Don't hide your ears. Well, if you heard my voice, then why am I asking Hashem not to refrain from listening? You already said, Koli, you've heard my voice. Meaning what? You've listened in the past. Maybe you're going to block your ears now. You don't want to hear my voice anymore. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please. Now, there is a little typo on the page here. Sometimes even in new editions, you know, errors creep in. It says Eov Paragimel. It's not Eov, it's Eicha. There's a pasuk in Megillas Eicha. It is Gimel Nun Vav, but it's Eicha, not Eov. So for those who want to make a little annotation in the margin, it's Kedai to know. Okay, but let's see. We're going to learn a medrash today. We'll have to see what these psukim have to do with anything. We'll come back to them in other Torahs. We'll see. Ki isa b'medrash kohelis, the medrash tells us. Rabbi Mona d'sha'av, Rabbi Yoshua d'sichnin b'shem Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Mona and Rabbi Yoshua both said in the name of Rabbi Levi, pasar kraya, they interpreted the following pasuk. What pasuk are they referring to? Mefarish mikrozeh, they expounded on the pasuk. Lech echol b'simcha lachmecha. Lech, go and eat with joy your bread. Ushasei b'lev tov yeinecha, and drink with a good heart your wine. Ki kvar ratza Elokim es ma'asecha. Because Hashem is happy with your actions. Hashem is pleased with you. Go for brang, go enjoy a good meal, a nice bottle of wine, because you're good by Hashem. So says the Medrash, Rabbi Levi interpreted this psukim, the Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippurim, as a reference to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We know from Sefer Nehemiah in the 8th chapter that when Ezra and Nehemiah were leading a spiritual revival and some Jews were learning Torah for the first time, amazing Balei Tshuva, and there's Kohanim who are translating the Torah into Aramaic because they didn't even speak Hebrew, and the people are starting to absorb the words of Torah, and what's the response? How does everyone feel? They're crying. They're depressed. We don't know anything about Torah. They're so sad. They're so disheartened. And Nehemiah and Ezra and the Kohanim, they say to them in Paraches of Nehemiah, what do you mean? Today's a happy day. It was Rosh Hashanah. Today's a happy day. It's not a time for fasting, and it's not a time for crying, and it's not a time for mourning, God forbid. Go home and eat a festive meal. Big discussion in Halacha. Let's say you're so scared of the Yom HaDin, you want to fast on Rosh Hashanah. You're allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. It's a day of Simcha. It's not Simcha Yisera. Right? The Rambam is very precise in his language. The Rambam writes that we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur because it's not Simcha Yisera, which means that the Simcha is not excessive. It is a scary day. There's an intensity to the day. But it is a day of Simcha. Right? So Rosh Hashanah, we have a big meal. On Yom Kippur, obviously we fast. But what do we do right after Yom Kippur? We sit down to a nice meal. So Reb Levi interpreted that pasuk, this pasuk in Koheles, go enjoy, you should eat on Rosh Hashanah, you should eat right after Yom Kippur, you should eat right before Yom Kippur. There's a lot of eating in the context of these, right? Sometimes you're so scared you don't have an appetite. No, eat Rosh Hashanah, eat on Erev Yom Kippur, the mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah to eat right after the fast. Enjoy. So Reb Levi gave the following mashal. This is the Medrash. Fourth line. Mashal l'medina shehaisa chayeves lifsin l'melech. There was a kingdom, there was a city, a province, that owed taxes to the king. And the king sent one of his gabayim to come collect. Shalach ha-melech gabay timyon. The king sent the gabay who was in charge of collecting. Right? He was in charge of the king's finances. Ligvoisa, to collect. Berechok yud milin yatsu gedolei ha-medina v'kalsu. V'hiter lehem shalish. When the tax collector was still 10 mil, we'll say miles away, so the gedolei ha-medina, the heads of that particular province or city, out to greet the tax collector, Vikil Suhu. Anyone know what that word means? The Kales? They what? They praise, right? They say, oh, the Heliga tax collector has come, right? And they Bacham, they gave him kavod. Vihitra Lahem Shlish. So he said, you know, since you to greet me in such an honorable way, I'll take off a third. I'll take off 33% of the taxes that this particular country owes. Berachok chamisha milin, when he was 5 miles away, yatsu habeinonim, v'kilsuhu. Right? Some of the regular, more, you know, average people came out and they started also to show honor to him. V'hitir lehem shlish. So he was feeling so good, he said, all right, I'll wave another third. Kishakarov, when he got close to the city, yatsu lekraso anashim v'nashim v'taf. When he finally got close to the city, the men, the women, the children, anyone who hadn't come out to greet him in any official capacity came out, the kilsuhu, and they praised him. And he said, you know what? I'm going back to the king and I'm going to say, this city, good people here. You should let them off their taxes. They don't have to pay. They shouldn't have to pay. Amr lon, ma da ozel ozel, min hocha ula halon hu chushbna. Amr lon, he said to them, ma da ozel ozel, what has gone is gone, meaning let's forget what happened in the past. Min hocha ula halan, from here and on, from here and this point forward, hu chushbana. We'll start a new cheshbon. We'll start a new calculation. But all the back taxes, pardoned, free of charge. Now, says the Medrash, second paragraph. Kach erev Rosh Hashanah gedolei ador misanin. On erev Rosh Hashanah, there are some tzaddikim who fast. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, wow, look how these people are fasting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu matir lehem shlish me'avonoseim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waves one third of the averos. Shenemar ki imcha ha-salicha l'man tivarei. Omer Rabbi Acha, me Rosh Hashanah slicha mitukenes lecha. Now that's going to be the key line that we're actually going to analyze. So if you want to underline it, that's the key. Me Rosh Hashanah, already from Rosh Hashanah, slicha is prepared for you. Leman Tivarei. Chever, you know this pasuk so well. You've said this is like the classic parak of Tehillim, you know? We're going to say a parak of Tehillim for a chola. Ki imcha slicha leman tivarei. What do the words mean? Ki imcha slicha, forgiveness, slicha, pardon is with you, leman tivarei. So that we shall fear. So first of all, before we see the Piazetzer's pshat, what he does with this pasuk, what does that pasuk actually mean? What do you think it's actually talking about? It's totally paradoxical. Because Hashem, right? Ki imcha slicha, because Hashem pardons us, so we're scared of him? I would think the opposite. If Hashem always holds his ground and never forgives, never pardons, so then I would think, that's scary. That's terrifying. But the fact that Hashem pardons us, shouldn't that be something to celebrate? Ki imcha slicha leman tivarei. What's the pshat? Anyone have a suggestion? Just pasuk pshat. What does that mean? Ki imcha salicha leman tivarei. Boker tov. What does that mean? Ki imcha salicha leman tivarei. Yeah. Let's hear. Daniel, go for it. Oh, okay. Okay, let's hear.
Could it be a possibility that because Hashem gives us the opportunity to be forgiven, we might not take it, we might not succeed at it?
Okay. Meaning it's overwhelming to even know that you have that opportunity. Okay. could say it like that. I think some of the Mefarshim, maybe the Radak, I don't remember, I looked at it years ago, it's like, what does this pasuk even mean? Either the Rashi or the Radak, I think the Radak, could be both, says, Ki imcha slicha, you know, sometimes if there was a middleman, it would be a little less awkward, right? Like if I would say, if I could like negotiate with one of Hashem's go-betweens, if I could talk to an angel and have the angel go on my behalf, so then, you know, I'd be less scared. But the fact that if I, again, it's an amazing opportunity to come clean, to get a fresh start. But I gotta come, ki imcha haslicha, I gotta go straight to imcha, I gotta talk it out with God. And Lamanti, right, that experience is very frightening. Even though I know Hashem wants to forgive. Okay, that's the Pashup Shah. But says the Medrash, says Rabbi Achan, the Medrash, from Rosh Hashanah, Slicha is prepared, Leman Tivarei, Shetehei Yiroscha Al Briosecha. The whole Slicha process, and this is going to be the main Yisod that we're going to talk about today, the whole forgiveness process is to enhance our Yira Shamayim. It's a little, also a little counterintuitive, no? The fact that God lets us get away with some of our Averos by working things out, so that's going to increase our Yira Shamayim, we have to figure that, that's a, going to work on that a little bit. Okay, but going back to the Medrash and the Mashal of the Medrash, right? So the first third come out and the tax collector waives a third of the taxes. The next third comes out and he waives another third of the taxes. And then finally the rest of the Medina comes out and he waives the rest of the taxes. So again, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Gedolei Hador fast, and Hashem says, I pardon a third of your Averos. V'osan hayamim shevein Rosh Hashanah liyom HaKippurim. There are some people who do a lot of fasting between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right? And at that point, you know, because you're already in the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, again, some people just have that practice, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu is matir lehem od shlish me'avonoseyem. And Hashem says, okay, I'll take off another third of your averos. And of course, like in the Mashal, right, when everyone comes out to greet the king, that's of course what day? Yom Kippur. When everyone's fasting. Uveyom HaKippurim is anin kulan. On Yom Kippur, everyone fasts. V'Kodesh Baruch Hu matir lehem od shlish me'avonoseyan. And Hashem pardons the final third portion of one's sins. Ad shem is anin anoshim v'noshim v'taf mocho lehem HaKodesh Baruch Hu. Men, women, even children, right? They don't fast the whole day, but you know, they eat a little less or they fast part of the day, whatever kids can do. Kids also want to feel connected sometimes. And HaKodesh Baruch Hu looks down and Hashem says, good, fresh start. Mada ozel ozel min hachu lahalan hu chushvna. Right, like the tax collector, what was was. Mada ozel, what has passed by has already passed by. We'll pardon the past, and we'll start fresh from this point forward. There's a new cheshbon, there's a new calculation. Okay, so now that's the medrash. Good. So gavaldik, we had a great morning so far. No, how's your morning going so far? I'm sure we had a chance to put on tefillin. Right. A chance to make some brachos, a chance to do some davening, maybe gave some tzedakah already, right. Maybe made a kiddush Hashem, being friendly to a security guard or something like that. You learned the medrash, spoke about our COVID policy. You know, we did a lot of things already today. It's a busy morning already. Okay? Gevaldik. Okay. So now let's learn the teachings of a tzaddik. Let's see what the Holy Piazetz Rebbe has to say about this medrash. Three lines from the bottom on page Zayin. Mirosh Hashanah Slicha Mitukenis. Right, from Rosh Hashanah, Slicha is prepared. The opportunity is there. Like Donnie was saying, that's kind of scary. V'hu k'dei shenira mimenu yisbarach. And that opportunity was created to create what? A sense of yira. That's the feeling on Rosh Hashanah. Yira doesn't always mean scary. Let's be clear. Right? Yira means awe. Hamelech, I'm in the presence of the king. Right? That doesn't mean the king is going to say, off with your head. That doesn't, I mean, that could also happen, right? Maybe that's part of the fear of Rosh Hashanah and the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, right? But it's supposed to be an experience of awe. I feel that I'm standing lefnei melech malchei amlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's an awesome experience. In the true sense of the word awesome, nora, right? Yira. As kol ha'olam bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'dei lira milafanav. And the truth is, and if you don't understand this properly, it sounds like God is so self-absorbed. That's not what it's saying. That Hashem created the whole world that everyone should what? Should stand in awe before him. Hashem made the world k'dei lira milafanav, that there should be yira in the presence of the king. That doesn't mean that God wants us to walk around like scared all the time. That's not what it means. That's a misunderstanding of yira, that God's going to try to catch me and punish me. That's also can be true. There's accountability. You can't do whatever you want in this world. There's something called yiras ha'onesh, and we should have that. Fear of being punished. But that's not the ultimate yira. That's not the goal. But Hashem created the world to establish a kingdom where people, where his subjects would have yira. Kamosha Amar Akasa, like the Pasuk says in Koheles, Valokim Asa, God made, God did, Hashem acted, Hashem performed, Shiyiru Milafanov, so that we should have awe in his presence. Now, the chiddush of this medrash is that forgiveness, tshuva, slicha, is also part of enhancing yira. That's, we got to work on that. Va'af, flash forwards on the page. Va'af ha-slicha hu, shenira milafanav. And that we need to figure out. Slicha, forgiveness, is meant to enhance our yira. Now, there's a lot of ways, and I hope the wheels are turning, trying to figure out what that means. But again, let's remind ourselves who's talking to us and where he's talking from. Right? What's he saying to his people? What's he saying to us also? But first and foremost, let's see what was the Rebbe trying to say to those Jews? Ki kishaish muluchlach bechatoim, because when a person is muluchlach, when a person is filthy, dirtied with sins, uvishvil ze misyaser biyisurim kashim umarim rachmanu letzlan. And because of his averos, again, see, he's taking accountability. He's not saying that the Nazis are going to have to answer to Hashem also. But he's not just saying this is random. He's saying when we have averos and because of that we suffer, he's trying to, again, he's not saying that the suffering is in vain. He wants the Jewish people to realize that if we're suffering, we must have done something. The Rebbe's not offering explanations what we need to do. Stop speaking so much Lashon Hara and then the war will end. He doesn't talk like that. But he also doesn't just say, well, the Nazis are in charge. He's saying, no, Hashem is allowing this to happen because of something we must have done. He wants us to be better. So when a person is filthy with sin, and because of that, he's suffering all sorts of difficulties, Rachman Litzlan, Kasha Shiyari Me Hashem Yira Amitis Migdulaso Yisbarach Umehadar Geono. Says the Rebbe, it's very hard to work on your Yiras Shemayim when you're living with constant fear of gas chambers. In a sentence, that's what he said. If we're so scared of being murdered, it's very hard to think about anything else. It's hard to meditate on the grandeur of Hashem, right? When I'm scared that some Nazi is going to come over and smack me with his rifle and smash my head. So it's very hard to have proper, look at the words again, kasha, it's difficult to have a yira amitis, to have true yira, migdulaso yizbarach, from the greatness of Hashem, umehadar ga'ono, right, and from the glory of his awesomeness, when I'm living with fear of what? Fear of suffering, of pain. When you're sick in bed, make it simple. When you're sick in bed, and you don't feel good, right? And you have the flu and you have your body's all achy, it's hard to daven, it's hard to learn. It's not that you believe in God less, it's that you're very distracted by your suffering. Right? It's hard to focus in on Hashem because I'm so caught up in my own pain. So now, says the Rebbe, Ki ikar hayira hi migadlus Hashem. Real yira is supposed to be, I'm supposed to live my life, again, with an awe in the presence of Hashem, to recognize the greatness of Hashem. Shekol nefesh Yisraeli margeshes.
Could it also be that, like, when somebody's suffering like that, it's so easy to, like, your fear is so involved in being afraid of punishment, and you're afraid of dafka, the punishment coming from Hashem, as opposed to just
right. So that's exactly what he's about to do now. Right. Right. I mean, we're going from kind of their physical suffering, right, which is a muscle we certainly understand. When I'm going through a physically difficult time, it's hard to sometimes hard to focus on spiritual things, even though in a certain way it pushes me to be more reflective, but sometimes it's hard to find the strength because I'm just so beat up. And now the Rebbe, like Dov is saying, says we have Yiras Ha'onesh and Yiras Haromimus, fear of punishment, and then an awe of Hashem's, again, grandeur, Hashem's greatness. So again, let's see the words. Ki ikar yirahi migadlus Hashem. The primary yira that we're supposed to feel is the awesomeness of Hashem. That's what Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be about. When you come to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, you're not supposed to walk in scared. You're supposed to feel you're being invited. You're being invited to the king's court. Now, there's a feeling of unworthiness. Can you think of someone who walked into the king's court and felt unworthy? You know? Esther Hamalka, Queen Esther. What does Esther say? What's the pasuk in Megillas Esther? Uvachein avo el melech shalokadas. I'm so scared to go before the king. But Mordechai tells me I have to, so I have to. And she's terrified. Uvachein avo al melech shelo kedas. You recognize that word, uvachein? You're going to be saying it a lot in about a week. Yeah? Uvachein tein pachtecha. Uvachein tein kavod la'amecha. Uvachein tzadikim. The Avud Raham, one of the Rishonim, the connection between the uvachein of Esther and the uvachein of our machzer. Simple pshat, the way the Vilna Gaon and Talmidei Agra and other tzadikim explained, is that the same way it goes in before Achashverosh and she's scared, even though she knows she has to show up, that's how we come to Shul Asshan. Uvachein. I gotta be here. I don't feel worthy of being here. There's a part of me that really wants to be here. There's a part of me that's really scared to be here. That mixed emotion is all captured in that one little word, uvachein. It's the same uvachein of Esther. Uvachein avo el melech. I'm gonna go before King Achashverosh. Shalo kedas. Right? But really, uvachein avo, it's not HaMelech Achashverosh. Avo el HaMelech. I feel sometimes that I'm calling before Hashem and I don't deserve it. I don't feel worthy of it. Okay? But Hashem wants us to come. And Hashem wants us to be invited to step into the throne room and to put a crown on his head. Can you imagine? Just picture it in a real way for a second. You know? That's what we're doing, Hashem. We're crowning the king. So imagine you have the job, you know, to put on the white gloves or whatever, you know, to carry the crown. And to walk up the steps, the king is seated on the throne, and to actually put the crown on his head. How nervous you would be. You know how excited you would be. So that mix of emotions, right, and how powerful it is to be in the presence of the king, that's what every Jew is supposed to say and feel when we scream out, HaMelech, I'm supposed to feel I'm putting a crown on the king's head. Keser yitnu lecha. I'm putting a crown on your head, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so every Jew knows that. Shekol nefesh Yisraeli margeshes. Every Jewish nefesh feels that on a certain level. Kol achas lefi archa. But each person according to his erech, according to his ability. Right? Depends how you prepare for these days. We're very lucky we have a great Rebbe like the Piazetz Rebbe to teach us what we're supposed to be feeling. So we don't get caught up in the wrong year. Everyone agrees there's supposed to be a sense of year on this day, but what type of year? Va'oz yesh ish. It's very kedai to look inside and to write down the words you don't know. Some of you are doing that, which is awesome. Those who are not, if you don't want to, I can't force you, but it's very kedai. You'll get much better. The way you get better at reading Svarim is by practicing reading Svarim and writing down words. And if you don't believe me, you can come look at, you know, the Svarim I bought when I was 18, 19, 20, and you can look at the Svarim I bought when I'm 35, 36, 37. I mean, I write a lot of my Svarim. I like to color, I like to write. I think it gives the safer flavor. Okay. But it's also good. You'll learn the words. Okay? And if there's a word that I skip over that you want to get, please ask. Okay? So every Jew feels it according to his erech, according to his ability. V'gam mizdazeya melachet or melachto chas v'chalila negdo. I tremble, mizdazeya, I tremble. I'm scared to sin chas v'chalila negdo against Hashem. V'yesh ish shebekirbo margish yiras ha'onesh. Underline those two words. There's a type of Jew. He's got two types of Jews. There's the type of Jew who's a yiras ha'onesh type of Jew. Right? A Jew whose fear on Rosh Hashanah is, I don't want to get punished. I don't want God to assign me to a bad year. Asher gam hi yira migadlos Hashem. But going back to what Dov said, that's also fearing Hashem. Right? That's also acknowledging that there's accountability for my actions. That's a form of believing in God. That's a very high form of believing in God. You know, the Chazon Ish was sitting one time with the Chavrusa, and he was learning. Months after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there was a pesky little fly that kept buzzing around, kept landing on the Gemara. It kept swatting away this fly, and kept coming back, kept disturbing them. So the Chazon Ish said to the person he was learning with, he said, that's a Rosh Hashanah fly. What's a Rosh Hashanah fly? He said, on Rosh Hashanah, it was determined that at this date, at this time, this fly was going to disturb us from our learning. This was determined on Rosh Hashanah. Right? So that's a very high level of belief, to believe that what's happening over the course of the year was already on a certain level. I say on a certain level because there is room to negotiate throughout the year also. That's what tefillah is every day. Right? But on a certain level, the flat tire that you got in Kislev was predetermined from Rosh Hashanah. So if you believe that, and you say, ugh, my Averos got me this stupid flat tire, that's believing in Hashem. That's Yiras HaOnesh. That's fear of punishment. I don't want to have troubles in my life. And that is a form of yira from the greatness of Hashem. Asher nafsho pnima margeshas, because your soul, your soul feels internally, pnima internally, rak mipnei. Sha'ish lav bar hachi hu, vitamid shakua hu rak ba'atzmuso v'tzarchiyosav, l'chein es yiras nafsho. Oh, hold on. Let's slow down for a second, right? Okay, let's backtrack a second, because I didn't introduce the first character properly. Let's go back a second. I apologize. Let's go back to the beginning of the paragraph. Let's do it again. Ki ikir hayira hi migadlus Hashem. Right? We have to explain that character more. The first person is the type of person, again, who fears Hashem because of the greatness of Hashem, the awesomeness of Hashem. Right? And like it says two lines after that, he's mizdazeya, he's nervous to sin because he has such respect for Hashem that he doesn't want to, God forbid, what? Do anything to hurt the king. To insult the king, out of respect for the king. He's afraid to damage the relationship. Okay? Now, v'yesh ish is really the second ish. V'yesh ish shebekir bo margish yirasonish. Then there's a second type of person who's more focused, right? I didn't introduce the first guy well enough. Right? The first guy is the one who has this godless Hashem. I don't want to sin. I'm so scared to sin. Right? The second guy is really... He also fears God. He believes in God, but he's very focused on himself. Yiras HaOnesh is about himself. Like, I want to be able to have a good life, and I don't want God to get in the way. So I want to make sure that I behave enough so that I have what I need and Hashem doesn't get in my way. Right? That's what he's describing. He also, again, he's saying, he's gam hi yirah migadlus. That's also a form of believing in Hashem. But because this person, again, going back to the fourth line, he's tamid shakua hu rak ba'atzmuso v'tzarchiyosav, but he's caught up in himself. He's shakua, means he's sunken. He's sunken into his atzmius v'tzarchiyosav. He's sunken into his own self-centeredness and his concerns for his own needs, that he's playing this, like, you know, game of divine, you know, hide and seek. He doesn't want to get caught. Right? He's hiding from Hashem. He's trying to work things out. L'chein es yiras nafsho yira migadlus Hashem, hu margish liyira mitzarchi Yosef shelo yachzru lo. So part of his yira, the expression of his yira, is that he has the type of fear that he doesn't want his tzarchi Yosef, his needs, to be yachzru lo, to be lacking for him. Okay. Now they're both good guys. They both believe that Hashem runs the world. But one person is focused, again, more on just not getting in trouble, because he believes that God has expectations, there's accountability. The other one has more of a genuine yira, a higher level, again, what we would normally refer to as yiras haromimus, right? An awe of God's grandeur, as opposed to a fear of God's punishment. Okay, good, next paragraph. V'zehu rak b'shosh shenafsho shel ish ha'yisraeli omedes or kayemes. But again, all of this is only true. I can only kind of focus on either of these things, but what? But I'm not totally crushed by my suffering. When I at least have the headspace to try to focus on God. But my whole life has become surviving another day in the Warsaw Ghetto. You understand what he's saying? It's very hard to have either of these levels of yira. This is all true when a person is omedes or kayemes, when life is functional. Oz yechol lahargish es kirvas elokim. Then he's able to feel the closeness of God. He can at least be aware of what's happening. Right? I mean, let's be honest with ourselves. They don't have to just put it in the Warsaw Ghetto context. Right? How many of us have been really feeling Elul in a deep way since the beginning of Chodesh Elul? It's been happening. Hamelech Basada, awesome opportunities. The Svaradim maybe started saying Slichos, so they're already, you know, they're a little more aware of the Kel Nora Alila, right? They're tapped in. They know that there's a Kel Nora, there's an awesome God. They know that. Ashkenazim are like just waking up, you know? And it's like, oh, whoa, Rosh Hashanah so soon? Whoa, how did that happen? Right? Because we're distracted. So it doesn't have to be that you're suffering, you know, unbearably at the hands of the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, to sometimes not be focused on the right things. I'm too worried about what? About working out my apartment in the Heights, or making sure that my card is working, that I got my, you know, PCR test in. I'm worried about all these things that I'm not worrying about real stuff. I'm not worrying about accountability for my Averos. I'm not concentrating on the fact that the Melech is coming to town and he wants to have a relationship with me. I'm not focusing on the important stuff. So when a person is able to be on his two feet, functional, Then again, then oz yichol la hargish as kirvas elokim asher eleha uli yiras yiraso yisbarach. So then I can feel that I'm in the presence of Hashem, and that Hashem's awe is palpable, is meaningful to me. Masha ein kein kishemaluchla chayish bechatayim umeducha biyisurim. He puts it in the same breath. But if you're too entrenched in your sins, or your meducha, you're too crushed with your yisurim. Interesting. Again, he's so deep about it. You already saying? They're one and the same, right? We're being crushed by the Nazis because we need to work on our avodas Hashem. That's what he's saying to his people. But whether you're, you know, you could be in great spirits right now, but you have a lot of, you know, baggage from the past year in terms of averos that you need to work out, right? That blocks you from realizing it's almost Rosh Hashanah. You're not focusing on the right thing. So whether you're weighed down from the filthiness of your sins, or you're going through a tough time in life, you're crushed from your Yisurim Rachmana Litzlan, at Chakulo Rovetz V'Nofel, to the point that you're always hunched over. You could be hunched over just walking down the street on your cell phone all the time. That's also called hunched over, not realizing that there's a Borei Olam. Su'u Merom Einecham U'ru'u Mi Bara'ela, says the Navi. Lift up your eyes. How often do you even look up? So we're stuck in our own little, you know, in our own little crunched over existence that we're not even, hello, wake up. We've been hearing the shofar, we're used to it already. We're not even responding to it. We gotta wake ourselves up. So if a person is so crushed, if he's so downtrodden, if he's so not aware of what's going on, he's weighed down by his averos. He thinks God has probably given up on him at this point. Sha'afis atzmo v'nafsho eno margish. He doesn't even feel what he should feel naturally in his neshama. Oz kosha shi yisragish b'yiras Hashem, then it's hard to have real yiras Hashem. V'yifchad mehadar ga'ono. And it's hard to have the proper fear and awe of Hashem's greatness. So now, chevra, let's go back to the pasuk. Ki imcha aslicha leman tivarei. What a beautiful pshat. Hashem, if you'll lift up some of the weightiness off my shoulders, if you take away some of my averos, then maybe I'll be a functional person again. And then, leman tivarei, then I can have the yiras shamayim that you want me to have. You hear what he's saying? Get the Nazis off my back so I can serve you, Hashem. I want, the Rebbe's preparing Jews. This was not a Rosh Hashanah speech that he gave, you know, in Tammuz. This is a Rosh Hashanah drasha. He's saying, I see my fellow Jews struggling to tap into Rosh Hashanah. They're having a hard time getting into it in shul for very understandable reasons. Right? But he's also saying, it's not just because we're trapped in the Warsaw Ghetto and the Nazis, Yamach Shemam, are trying to kill the Jewish people. It's also because we're numb from our averos. So we have to, we can all create within our own personal experience a combination of those. We are spiritually dull from our averos. And maybe we've also had a really tough year based on the way the world's been for the last 18 months. Plus, you know? That's also true. So we ask Hashem, forgive us, grant us slicha, leman tivarei, so we can get back to the purpose of creation, which is what? Hamelech, keser yitnu lecha. We want to get back to that. But I can't do that if I'm hunched over my cell phone all the time, if I'm weighed down by the weightiness of too many WhatsApp groups, right? Or if I'm too busy, whatever, checking, you know, updates, the news every 30 seconds, right? Yeah, Rabbi Joe.
Why were you groups, the Surim and Mental English, and the English from Arlington?
Yeah.
Can the guild of the English be Surim?
I think so. Yeah, some of the Yisurim is the awkwardness, the guilt, the religious guilt is also part of the suffering. And again, and the suffering is also part of the tikkun, right? The suffering is part of the tikkun. Yeah, what do you want to add?
So if it's part of the tikkun, why is it considered?
Because the same way we learned last week, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem, you're crushing the Jews, right? Moshe says, you're letting Paro crush the Jews like never before, with the goal of what? If they suffer terribly, then they'll have miracles which are totally beyond, right? If the suffering is beyond, the miracles will be beyond. But Moshe says, but too many Jews are going to be just completely crushed. So it's the same type of tefillah, right? It's the same type of tefillah. My averos lead to my suffering. And suffering and that mental anguish, like Joe is saying, and the religious guilt, that's also part of the tikkun. But you also know the Jews who get so, you know, they feel so guilty and so weighed down by their averos that they become what? That they just become apathetic to the whole system. They're just like, whatever. I'll never get it together.
I feel like you don't.
So we're saying, Hashem, help me. Clean my slate. Give me a fresh start. Remember, muscle the tax collector. Let last year go and Mikanu lahaba chushbana. We'll start over. We'll make a new calculation. You know, I've been buying on credit for so long. I'm never going to pay it off. So someone says to me, okay, you know what? I want to see you get back on your feet. If you're going to have to pay all the money you owe me from the past, it's not going to work. I'm giving you a loan right now. This is Kilu, the first loan I'm giving you, but I'm holding you accountable for this one. We show up every year and then we ask to cancel the loan again? Okay. But we have to believe that Hashem is going to take us seriously, yeah.
I feel like it's much easier to be weighed down by concern than it is by just the thought of you're there because there's something happening back to you.
Right.
Like, how do you explain, like, the person who is doing a bear but isn't getting that concern, like, isn't necessarily...
So that's also part of this, that's part of this tefillah. Part of this tefillah is Nebuch, this guy is so numb, he doesn't even realize that he's filthy. If he could see his spiritual self, he would be blackened. He wouldn't even recognize himself. He's walking around, he's cool, everything's good. But he's become so numb that he doesn't even, right? The first time, maybe he was ate something not kosher, it was like shocking. Then he did it again, then he did it again, then he did it again. And like, whatever, yeah. I don't keep kosher anymore. I mean, you don't keep kosher, that's not optional, you're a Jew. Right? So he's so numb, he's so spiritually clogged that he can't function anymore. So again, sometimes the spiritual clogging is the bad choices we make. Sometimes it's the enemies of Klal Yisrael not allowing us to be functional people. So the tefillah of Ki Imcha Salicha Laman Tivare, what a beautiful pshat in David HaMelech's words. V'zesh Amar Apasso, Ki Imcha Salicha Laman Tivare, K'mo Shekosav HaMedrash, Meirosh Hashana Salicha Metukenes Lecha. Let's go back to the words of the Medrash. From Rosh Hashanah, prepared. Hainu, what does that mean? Haslicha v'hayeshua, you know why Hashem gives us this opportunity? To experience slicha, to experience salvation, spiritual salvation. Kedei shetehe yiraschal b'riosecha. That's why they go hand in hand. The crowning of the king and the forgiveness, they go hand in hand. Because as we feel the weight of our averos dropping away, with each day of slichos, with each sound of the shofar, with each Hashem, Hashem, keil rachum v'chanon, right? That's why by the time we get to Ne'ilah, we are super locked in. We're screaming at the top of our lungs. Right? Hashem Hu Elokim. We're screaming out, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokim Hashem Echad. We're saying, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Ol Olam V'Ed out loud because we're angelic. Because as we throw off all of this disgusting weight of our Averos, we can be the type of Jews we're supposed to be. Lefnei HaMelech. Leman Tivarei. Right? The Kevan Shebi Rosh Hashanah. Aser Simei Tshuva. The Yom HaKippurim, Heim Yomim Shenimtza V'Hem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since these days of Rosh Hashanah, Aser Shemei Tshuva, Yom Kippur, are days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nimtza, is found, is accessible. Kidroshas Chachmeinu Zah, like the Gemara tells us, Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzo, seek out Hashem when He can be found. So because you're Lifnei Hashem, you're in the presence of the King, Lachain, Me'hizgalus HaLokis, Lenafsho Shalayish, this revelation of godliness to the soul of a Jew, Yir also yisbarach misoreres b'chol echad b'yaser se'es b'yaser os. You feel that you're more before Hashem because you actually are more in the presence of Hashem. And therefore the yira is misoreres, it awakens within a Jew and you feel it more strongly. Right? The fear that you have during these days, again, it's nuanced, whether it's more fear of getting punished or it's just recognizing the awe of Hashem. But all of that is happening because you're drawing close to Hashem. You're being invited into the king's throne room. And concludes the Rebbe this paragraph, V'lama nimtza u'mizgala ata. And if you'll ask, why is that happening now? Legalos malchuso yizbarach. Why does this revelation happen on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is very simple. Because if you remember from the previous page, what was the purpose of creation? Right? What did the Pasuk tell us in the last line of the previous page? The Pasuk in Koheles. V'alokim asa sheyiru milafanav. The tachlis, the purpose of creation, is that what? That the whole world should recognize the Malchus Shakai, the kingdom of Hashem. The whole world should be able to recognize that. Over the course of the year, we get dirty, we get lost, we get beat up, we get flat tires, we have bad breakups, you know, we have all sorts of things. We fail a test, we lose a job. All those things get us off course. But as these days, we get closer and closer and closer to Hashem. Right? Over this course of these days, we draw close to Hashem. And as we draw close to Hashem, automatically, what happens? The purpose of creation reveals itself. So obviously on Rosh Hashanah, which is the day that man was created, of course we feel it. Says the Rebbe, Ki hayom haras olam. Today is the day the world was founded. So when we come back to the starting point of creation, the purpose of creation reveals itself. What was the purpose of creation? Yiras Hashem. So on the day that we get back to that starting point, but we're coming with a lot of baggage, so Hashem says, I'll take away your baggage. Ki imcha slicha, I'll forgive you of all your baggage. Leman tivarei. And now you can function the way a Jew is supposed to function. The chol habriya, the whole purpose of the briya, of creation itself, is legalos malchuso yizbarach al Yisrael haisa, is to be able for Hashem to reveal His kingdom over the Jewish people, and really over the whole world. Right? Rosh Hashanah is not really a Jewish holiday, as ironic as that sounds. Yom Kippur is a uniquely Jewish holiday. Rosh Hashanah is a world holiday. We happen to be the representatives of the world who try to crown Hashem over the world. But really, everything is being judged. Everyone and everything is being judged. You could be a non-Jew who's never heard of Rosh Hashanah and spending Rosh Hashanah on the beach, right? But you're also part of the judgment that's taking place in Rosh Hashanah. It's Hashem looking at the whole world. It's a universal holiday. Yet I'm not sure that it's our job to go out and teach it to people. It's not one of the Shevet Mitzvahs B'nai Noah. They can go to the beach, and we have to show up in shul and say the Fat Machzor and try to feel something on behalf of the world to crown Hashem. Right? But when you come back, Hayom Aras Olam, when you come back to the starting point of creation, so then what? So then it reveals itself. It reveals itself in an amazing way. The purpose of creation reveals itself. Okay? Where are we holding on the clock? 10:03. Okay, someone wanted to say something? Someone had their hand up? Yeah, Don.
You mentioned that a person feels weighed down, especially by their actions, and then slowly as the Rosh Hashanah approaches, it kind of gets lifted up.
Right.
Finally, look up. So the idea just came to me, like, kind of have this imagery of, like, the person walking into the king's chamber with the crown, which is sort of very scared.
Right.
And then rising up.
Oh, very nice.
It's like you're finally
able to stand and put it up. Right, he's like scared. At first he's like scared to even lift up his head, but at some point he's gotta raise up his hands to place the crown. And as he the closer he gets to actually crowning the king, right, the more it's a powerful image. That's a powerful image to meditate on in Rosh Hashanah. Right? You're standing there in Shmona Esrei and we're hunched over, and the whole discussion in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, should the shofar be straight, should the shofar be bent? Maybe it should be bent. The ram's horn is ideal because it's bent, because we're humbled before Hashem. But at a certain point, if we're the ones who have to put the crown on the king's head, we have to pick ourselves up, you know, with the confidence to crown the king. It's an awesome image. That's great. Yeah.
This piece reminds me of one of my favorite.
Can I borrow that for a drasha on Rosh Hashanah maybe? I'm thinking about it. Very solid.
So one of my favorite quotes I heard from Rabbi Shimi.
Yeah.
So,
Shlita.
When I was in Morristown, I came for Pesach Shemi. He said the following word, that Yismach Le Mavak She Hashem. We usually understand the pasuk to mean that when you're Mavak is Hashem, then you Yismach Le because you're Mavak is.
Okay.
But he explained the pasuk that in order to be a Mavak is, you have to be somebody who's Yismach Le. Like you, the first step is you have to be somebody who's happy and internally like wholesome, and then you can go and search for something that's bigger, because
that's
if
great.
You're lacking that,
right, Yismach Lev. If you're not in a healthy, and it goes back to what Joe is saying before also. If you're not in a healthy, if you're too weighed down, if you're too depressed, again, whether it's just a mental health struggle, or it's again a difficulty in your olam hazeh existence, or whether it's a spiritual unworthiness, whatever it is, if that's holds you down, you can't be a mavakesh, because you don't feel like I don't have a right to be here. I don't have a right to be a part of all of this. It's a beautiful vart. So if you're yismach lev, if you can find that simcha sachayim, so then you'll feel that now I can be a mavakesh, now I can try to become something, because I'm a healthy person. It's very strong. Okay, Chava, let's just do a couple more lines. V'zeh ha'pshat b'medrash, second to last paragraph on page Ches. V'zeh ha'pshat b'medrash ha'nizkar le'el. Now, we have to answer one part of the Medrash still. What did it say? What was the story? The story was that when the tax collector came to town, what happened? The people came out, and what did they do? Kilsu means they praised him. They praised him. Right? And then the Medrash said, and that's like on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Tzadikim fast, and during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, more people fast. At Yom Kippur, everyone fasts. So fasting is synonymous with, in this mushals, fasting is synonymous with praising. How is fasting praising? How is fasting praising, right? In the mushal, more people came out in more praise and more praise and more praise. Is fasting praising? V'zeh apshat b'medrash haniskar le'el. Sha'ala ta'anesim shel erev Rosh Hashanah v'yom ha'kipurim omer, mashal shiyatu b'nei medina v'kilsu. They came out and they praised him. So he asks, do you want to underline the question? Eza kilus heima ta'anesim. Ta'anesim. What is the kilus? What is the praise of fasting? How is that a praising of Hashem? The tefillah is a praise. Fasting is praising? Why is fasting praising? Aval lefi ha'amor le'el. But based on what we've explained until now, chutz min hashiros v'tishbachos sh'orim b'yamim elu, in addition to all the songs and the praises and all the piyutim and all the davening and all the words and all the negunim, right? In addition to all of that, which we do during these days, gam kol ha'tfilos ha'bechios v'tachanunim, right? All the davening and all the requesting and all the tears, af hata'anesim kilus lo yizbarachu. Why do you think he's focusing on this? Why do you think he's focusing on this element? Why is he focusing on the fasting? Because what? What do you mean? They don't have food. Right. Right. Because a lot of Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto are hungry. Right? So he's saying, you're saying, we're not davening as good as we used to, but we're all bigger tzaddikim than we're used to because we're eating less than we're used to. I think that's right. Right? The fasting is also a praise of Hashem. Why? Shenizgal lanu v'nafshenu bekirba margeshes iszgaluso yisbarach v'tiro mimenu u'mefachedes al chateha. Right? He's trying to learn up the fasting. He's trying to learn up their hunger. He's saying, maybe, right? Really, we're so hungry because there's not a lot of food around here. Right? But maybe we're so hungry, maybe we're fasting, right? Because we're scared. Because how can we eat at a time like this? Where there's such an awe that we feel in the presence of Hashem. We're so nervous about our averos. We're mifachedes over our sins. Our nefesh feels that it's nervous about its averos. And therefore, the fast is also a praise of Hashem. Because if the purpose of everything we're doing is just what? It's to say, Hashem, I'm aware of your presence. So maybe the failure to eat, or my inability to want to eat, again, they didn't have a lot of food. But the fasting is also, I can't eat. Why not? How can I eat? I'm too nervous. I got to get this crown on the king's head today. It's a big job I have today. Right? So it robs me of my appetite. But that fasting itself is acknowledging the king, that I'm in the presence of the king. So says the Rebbe, let's just finish up top of page test. So therefore, chaver, now we have our mission statement. We need to work on Yiras Shemayim. For those who were at the opening kenes last week in Gluck, when some of our yeshiva leadership spoke to us, right, and they passed out index cards, and people traded names with people who were next to them. So one of the things that I asked for, the person who's davening for me, and I'm davening for, I asked that I should have Yiras Shemayim. I think especially people who learn a lot of Sifrei Chassidus, which emphasize a lot of Ava, and a lot of kirvas elukus, in a very warm and loving chesed-oriented way, you have to make sure that you don't pervert that. You don't pervert Hashem's love. You need Yiras Shamayim. That's the purpose of creation. And again, Yiras Shamayim doesn't just mean Yiras HaOnesh. It doesn't just mean fear of sin. It doesn't just mean fear of punishment. It means, Hashem, I value the relationship, and I recognize you so clearly that I want to be in your presence. Ki ayira ba'atzma kabbalas o malchuso yisbarach aleinu hu. Because what is yira in a sentence? Yira is kabbalas o malchus shamayim. I accept that there's a king, that there's a God, that there's a melech, that someone's in charge. And therefore the Rebbe is telling them, when you're crying during these days, when you're hungry during these days, right? Instead of just being afraid of Nazis, yimach shema v'zichram, channel that energy, channel that fear, channel those tears, channel that hunger towards Hashem, and realize that that's also called recognizing Hashem. Kol tzakos Yisrael b'yam elu, all of the cries during these days, his galus malchuso, v'kabalas malchuso yisbarach aleinuhu. Don't say, no, I'm not really crying because it's Rosh Hashanah. Make a paradigm shift in your mind and say, no, I am crying because it's Rosh Hashanah. Because the fact that I'm suffering at the hands of the Nazis also has to do with my relationship with Hashem. Afilu habakashos al tzarchi oseinu. When you're davening to Hashem over your needs, I need more parnasa, Hashem. I need better health, Hashem. I need better success with shidduchim. Right? I need mental clarity, I need Yishuv Hadas, whatever it is. All of those things, Gam Kein Min Hisgalus Malchuso V'Kilusu. When I daven to Hashem and I ask for more money, right? Because I want to buy a nice car or something silly like that. That's also Kabbalah Somach Hashlam. You know why? Because I'm saying the money comes from God. That's a form of Kabbalah Somach Hashlam. That's a praise of Hashem. Right? When I acknowledge that it's not just working more hours and investing in, you know, better investments that makes me more money. It's saying Hashem, Rosh Hashanah, you're going to determine if I'm going to have my needs met. And my needs might be silly. They may not be what Hashem wants us to even spend the money on. But you know what? If you're talking that out with God, that means you believe in Hashem. That's Yiras Shemayim. Shenizgal lelanu malchuso yizbarachu makablam bes malchuso aleinu v'shavim elav. You're acknowledging that there's a melech, you're returning to him, and you're accepting him. V'gam mevakshim mimenu shiaspik lanu etzarach yoseinu. And you're asking him to supply you with your needs. Ki mi hu asher yasmik etzarach yosav shal amo v'avadav. Because who could provide you with anything if not Hashem himself? One of the tzaddikim of Chernobyl, I believe. Right? I got the story right, Ashley? Yeah. Yeah, with the housekeeper. You want to tell it? So one of the tzaddikim of Chernobyl, his Rebbetzin had a woman who helped out in the house. And she quit. Very suddenly she quit on them. Maybe they're having a lot of guests that Shabbos, she needed help in the kitchen, you know, whatever it was. This woman quit on them. And the Rebbe of Chernobyl was seen, he was seen by some of the Hasidim, some of the Talmidim, some of the Hasidim. He was off in the corner, and he was davening. Right? So the Hasidim listened in, and they heard him, you know, davening, pouring out his heart to Hashem, Hashem, please cause the housekeeper to have a change of heart. Make her want to come back to work for my wife. When the Hasidim first saw the Rebbe standing in the corner, davening, they thought, I don't know, the Rebbe saw this from Gezerah on all of Klal Yisrael. You know, they thought like something catastrophic was going to happen. And they snuck up behind, they listened in, it's, please let this lady come back to work for my wife. So one of them had the chutzpah to ask, it looked like you were davening for like something like, you know, like really big. You know, that's what you're. So he said to them, Kipshuto, just like this, who else am I going to talk to if not Hashem? Hashem's the address. Hashem can put it in this woman's heart to change her mind and say, you know what, I actually do want to work for you. Or not. You want me to go run to the agency who set us up with this lady, this cleaning lady? So that's who you want me to go? Try to convince her to come back? Talk to the Borei Olam. Talk to Hashem. Put it in her heart that she should want to come back. So when you stand in Rosh Hashanah, and even if you're davening for the wrong things and you're crying about the wrong things, you're still crying about the right things. Because those tefillahs are acknowledging that Hashem runs the world. That's an unbelievable thing. Okay, Chava, let's stop here for today. Stop at this paragraph. But amazing. An amazing mission statement for us. And let's try to remember Dani's mashal. I think it's very, very, very powerful. Right? There's a sense of being weighed down by our averos, weighed down just by life, the heaviness of life, the uncertainties of life. Right? But we ask Hashem, the tefillah is, don't just take away my averos because I don't want to get punished. That also counts. That's not a bad tefillah, but there's a much better tefillah. Take away my averos, Hashem, so I can be a little freer to live in your presence. Remove some of the burdens of my life so I can lift up my eyes and say, ah, melech, avinu malkeinu, and say it and mean it. That's what we're really asking, that's what we're davening for during these days. Okay? Questions, comments, additions? Okay.